it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, it's Christmas Eve. I would say finally, but it seems to have snuck up on some of us. And that means tomorrow's Christmas. And you can tell Christmas Eve and Christmas are a big deal because I wore a suit. And I'm even wearing my big boy shoes today. Now, during our Advent season, as we've been preparing for Christmas to come, as we've been leading up to it, if you've been here on our Sunday afternoons when I've been preaching, you know, we've talked about some of the names that we know Jesus by. We've talked about the fact that he is the son of Abraham and the son of David, meaning that when he came, he was to be the king of Israel. And we talked about the fact that he is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's the son of God. And we talked about the fact that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the high priest. And we talked about the fact that his name is Jesus, which means the Lord saves, because that's why he was sent. But Christmas, the end of our Advent season, the waiting is over, and the baby Jesus comes, and a lot of the world forgets the baby Jesus on Christmas. They think it's just a season for, it's a season of peace, and it's a season of goodwill, and it's a season of charity, and these things, and all those things are nice, but we can't forget it's about Jesus. And hopefully the fact that we're all in church on Christmas Eve means that we haven't forgotten that the season is all about Jesus, about the baby Jesus. Now, I know we can't have Easter without Christmas, but why do we have Christmas? Why is it a big deal that Jesus came as a baby? There's another name that we often refer to Jesus by, although not in the church quite so much. We refer to him sometimes as not just the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, because he did grow to be a man, and he started out as a baby. Today, I wanted to look at the reasons he came. The best explanation of this actually comes in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. You see, when the baby Jesus came, that wasn't the first that Jesus was. Jesus has always been, because Jesus is God. He is God's son. He is an aspect of the Trinity, and he's always been there. But coming as the baby was his first coming to earth as we know him. You know, we never see the name Jesus in the Old Testament, at least as we're familiar with him. But he was made, well, he wasn't made by God initially at the creation, but as Christmas was coming, God made him to be a little bit lower than the angels. He made him just like us. You see, in the order of creation right now, angels are above us. But one day we will be above the angels. But for now, on this first Christmas, Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, became a little bit lower than the angels. He became like us. And this was necessary to fulfill the five reasons that he came. The first was to taste death for every man. Death came into the world through man's first sin. Adam and Eve had been warned by God not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, because on the day that they did that, they would die. Well, they did. And though they didn't die physically that very same day, they did die spiritually. They were separated from God. They were kicked out of the garden. And death did come that day, just not to them. God killed an animal and used its skin to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. This was the first hint of sacrifice. You see, when man sins, blood must be shed. Paul tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, and that still holds as a fact today. In God's mercy, he killed the first animal, which provided the first atoning sacrifice that would eventually be explained in the law that Moses provided, and again on Christ's death on the cross. Paul's warning that the wages of sin is death was also an explanation of his provision, because as he continues, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus let us know this again in John 3:16 when he said that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The second of his reasons was to bring many sons to glory. We are those sons and daughters. Christ's death allows us to become God's children because his death takes away our sin and God can therefore adopt us into his family. That offer stands for all, but we have the opportunity to accept this adoption or deny it. You see, as it was in ancient Rome, people didn't adopt children. They would adopt adults, because that way someone who didn't have an heir would have an heir. I know one of my favorite movies is Ben-Hur, and there's a terrific example of adoption in that movie. You see, the owner of the slave ship that Judah Ben-Hur was enslaved on, when the ship sank, Judah saved his life, and that man, in gratefulness, not only freed him from slavery, but adopted him as his son. And he had the opportunity then to accept this offer, to become the son of, I don't know what his position was, the guy who ran the ship, the captain. God extends that offer to us, to become his children, to become his heirs. And we have the opportunity to accept it or deny it. Jesus said he is not ashamed to call us his brethren or sisteren. It doesn't say that, but it's implied. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it is through Christ that the believer is able to be made whole and live up to the glory God would have us live up to. The third reason he came was to be made perfect through suffering. That's the way the Bible puts it. I'll be quick, though, to point out that this is not to say that Jesus was in any way not perfect. He was God. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was perfect in every respect. But the word being used here for perfect means to finish, to perfect, to end what is done. His divine work was to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and he declared, "It is finished," that's what he was talking about, this work. The work to find us, to set us free. And it was through his suffering that this work was accomplished, through his sacrifice, not only of his death, but of his life. The fourth reason for his coming was to sanctify us. As I have said, he makes us his brothers when God adopts us into his family. This sets us apart. This makes us holy. This gives us an opportunity to be what God intends for us to be. You see, the non-believer can do all kinds of good things. I know lots of people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, and they do lots of good things. They do lots of charity work. They do lots of these wonderful things. But as Isaiah said, our human righteousness is bloody rags. By Christ sanctifying us and bringing us back to God, bringing righteousness within our reach, we are able to have the relationship with God like Adam once had, like Adam had before the fall. The fifth and final reason was to declare God's name unto the brethren. The 22nd Psalm, verse 22, says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." This psalm is known as the Suffering Servant Psalm, and it's a psalm that King David had written at a particular time in life when things were going bad for him. We don't know specifically which moment in this life it was, but things were bad, as sometimes they were, and he was suffering, just as Jesus suffered. But in Jesus' suffering on the cross, when he was no longer able to feel God's presence, it was that suffering that he did for us. And he could only have done that if he came first as the baby. Jesus fulfilled his mission through his birth, through his life, and through his death on the cross, just as the prophets said he would, just as the Psalms said he would. by faith in Him, by believing in Him, we are able to achieve the righteousness that we can't achieve on our own. You see, the Christmas baby was the first gift. That's why we receive gifts on Christmas, to remind us of the baby. We celebrate Christmas to remember the baby that came and grew to be a man, the King of Israel, the Son of God, the High Priest, our Savior, the Son of Man. He was all these things for us, so that we could be all things with God, so that we could be made righteous, so that we could have that relationship. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we remember the baby, the Son of Man, the baby boy in the manger. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, may the blessings of this holiday season be with you as you go from this place. This service is over. Your service will now begin. Go in peace and have a Merry Christmas. Amen.